Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of The Grub Buds. How's everybody doing? I hope you're doing all right. Episode number 9 on the year, number 2 this week. We're getting you ready for some more Super Bowl stuff. We've got Super Bowl dips this time, and we did wings on Monday. We've got beers coming on Friday, all part of the Super Bowl week stuff. But welcome in. I'm Truman Steen, twitch.tv/steammachine, twitter.com/steammachine. As always, I'm joined by some amount of guests, and we've got four guests this week outside. We have 5 total people this week outside of me. Let's introduce them. We'll go to the top left first. Joe, how are you doing, Joe? How's life?
I'm doing good. Everything's fine. Hold on. I just forgot that I need to show everybody slightly less of the garbage in the background. Nice. There we go.
Turn off the lights. Yes. Right. Always, as it normally goes with Joe, looks a little better in the dark. Cole, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic, actually. And, you know, honestly, I'm not surprised that Joe missed his background. He was on time today, so something had to slip.
Something had to go.
There's just no way.
Right, of course. And in the bottom left here is our special guest for the episode. We are joined by the duo that makes up twitch.tv/handlersread, Hannah and Logan. How are you guys doing?
Excellent.
Just dandy.
We are glad to be here.
Oh, happy to have you. Happy to have a lot of dips lined up for us to test on the show today. So as we mentioned, everything this week has been kind of Super Bowl themed or sports themed. On Monday, we did weird sports stories. And there was a lot of throwbacks and stuff. We had pitchers doing acid, Yankees pitchers switching wives and lives, and $1 hockey players, all sorts of stuff going on. And so for this one, I wanted to focus it more on the Super Bowl. So while we're eating, in between eating these dips, we'll eat them. We'll try them out. We'll rank them 1 out of 100. We'll try a dip, and then we'll give our first impression about it. Then we'll go in and talk about the story, and then give our rating right afterwards, and then go into the next dip. But we've got to power through. So a little shorter something that we're going to do this time is we're going to talk Super Bowl fun facts. Everybody brought a Super Bowl fun fact, and we go through their favorite dip that they nominated for the episode. We'll go through the Super Bowl fun fact as well, and that'll be kind of the way that this is going to roll. So that was, you know, as much as an explanation for all the guests, as I never provide any information about the show, as it is for the listeners and the viewers. So we're going to start with the salsa. And as we mentioned earlier, everybody holds up their salsa real quick. Everybody else got the right salsa, except for me. I got the wrong salsa. I sent out everybody. Joe said, hey, I'm getting Tostitos restaurant salsa. Make sure to get it. I was like, okay, cool. I sent that out to everybody. Everybody went into the store and got it. I had to order mine online, and they did not have the restaurant salsa online. So I ended up with medium chunky salsa, still from the Tostitos brand. We're not sponsored, but Tostitos, reach out to me, really. It's a classic, but let's get into it. We'll try it. We'll give our first impression. We'll get the fun fact about Super Bowls from Joe, and then we'll, keep it rolling. So, kind of cheers, everybody. I think we all did different things. I think Joe had pita chips. Logan and Hannah had special store-bought chips that are really, you know, local. I bought the Tostitos scoops, and Cole just got the regular Tostitos, so we're ready to rock. All right, here we go.
You get fresh baked chips out in West Virginia.
Oh, wow. Okay. This is great. You know, a salsa is just, it's a classic. A classic at any Super Bowl party. You can always rely on it. People in the chat are debating whether or not salsa is a dip. You know what? It's my show, so fuck you. It's salsa. Salsa is a dip this time, huh?
Does it go on a chip?
That's the only time I get to say fuck you to my father. And but to be fair, he said that he wouldn't fight swords for me last week. So you know what? We got problems to work through.
Truman, your dad's watching.
Yeah. They tune in. They're big. My parents are my biggest fan. But
aww.
True.
Also, Tostitos apparently also in the chat said that no, I do not get a sponsorship from Tostitos. So really upsetting. But yeah, sauce is one of those that you can always count on. And, you know, it's always good. It's classic. I like the chunky, honestly. I do like chunky probably more than your more liquidy restaurant style salsa you guys got. But, you know.
Yeah. This is very liquidy, I must say. Yeah. It's almost like water.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah. Can't get over Truman's down in the chat.
Truman, this gives a whole new meaning to your spicy water jokes.
Spicy water. Yeah, this restaurant salsa is spicy water.
That's what it is.
All right. So while we eat a little more salsa here, Joe, what Super Bowl fun fact have you brought to us today?
So my Super Bowl fun fact is Joe Montana has a perfect Super Bowl record.
Fun fact. You know Patrick Mahomes also does.
Okay, but here's what I'm saying. Four Super Bowls that Joe Montana went to, he won all four of them and never threw an interception.
Ooh. Oh, that is okay. Okay, a little spicier. No matter how many interceptions, I mean, how many Super Bowls Patrick Mahomes go to, he's already thrown two interceptions. So
he's already thrown two interceptions. And then I think if I read it correctly, then he apparently became garbage and went to the Chiefs.
No. Oh, when he went to the Chiefs, he was still incredible. They still almost went to the Super Bowl. The
49ers, and then apparently couldn't make it happen.
Fair enough. All right. Yeah, I don't... Yeah, I mean, Joe Montana, probably the GOAT before Brady was the GOAT, honestly. I mean, 4-0 in Super Bowls. Won four Super Bowls. He's won the second most Super Bowls. I think he's tied with Terry Bradshaw. We looked this up for the show the other week. There's like three or four people that have won four Super Bowls. And Joe Montana probably being the best one out of the four. I mean, besides Tom Brady. Tom Brady's probably the best, but again, only because he won six Super Bowls. So, but yeah, I like...
Maybe seven.
Yeah, right. No, it's not even a possibility. Wait, is this the show where I get to be biased? What show do I get to be biased on about the Chiefs? The sports one or the food one? And of course my dad, you know, he's old, so he says Montana's still the GOAT. So, but yeah, so I don't know. I think Joe Montana was that, like, was the guy before there was ever, like, the guy, you know, like, there was never the guy before Michael Jordan. And then Michael Jordan came along, and now everybody gets compared to Michael Jordan. But now everybody was getting compared to Joe Montana, probably, and now we've got Tom Brady. So now everybody's going to get compared to Tom Brady from here on out. But, you know, before Jordan, there was Montana. No. After Jordan, there was Montana. They're about the same.
Same timeline.
Yeah. All of it before I was born. So that's always my excuse on a lot of these things. But, yeah, I mean, that is fun. That's a fun fact for us, Joe.
Very exciting.
Has everybody seen Michael Jordan's documentary and how great it was?
Oh, The Last Dance?
Yeah.
I have not seen it, surprisingly.
It is fantastic.
You need to bump that up your list.
Yes,
dude.
You do.
I know. I always put something on in the background to listen to during work, so I feel like that's one you could probably listen to. So maybe I'll throw The Last Dance on there.
The cinematography is amazing.
Yeah. It's really
right, especially for it all being, you know, for a lot of it being shot in the 80s and stuff like that. I've heard that it's like some of the highest quality footage they've ever seen of it.
Yeah, it's digitally remastered on top of that as well.
Right. And I think that was an odd thing I was thinking about the other day. I was watching a movie that it was like placed in the 80s. But, you know, it was shot in, like, 2016 or something. But, like, in a way, I think when I think of, like, the 80s and stuff that was going on, I always think of it in, like, a lower quality. Like, I don't think of it, like everything that happens now, I remember it being, like, crystal clear. But for some reason, you know, I think about what my parents or my grandparents were doing in the 80s. It's got that, like, TV glaze over it, you know, that, like, film that we see from all the 80s footage. It just doesn't make any sense because they were seeing it like we're seeing it now. But for some reason, I can't get over that mental block that everything in the background, like everything that happened in the 80s is like that. Yeah.
It's because they told us their memories, and because they're old, they're like VHS to us.
Right, and that's...
It's like going to the closet and finding your parents' stuff, which is what's happening, but...
Right, it's just odd to think, when I think about anything that went on, you know, it was crystal clear, but for some reason for me, it'll always have that 80s film over it. But, all right, so, you know, let's get moving, because we've got a lot of dips to test. We'll give our rankings here. We'll go top left to bottom right. You know, whoever's dip it is, I'm going to make you go first. That's the rules. And we'll go, because I make the rules up on the fly here, baby. And so we'll rank it, you know, 0 to 100. Joe, give me your ranking on salsa.
It's a classic, the standard by which most dips are probably further tested on.
But it's not a dip, allegedly.
Allegedly. I gotta give it a 75. The versatility of it, the fact that I know from experience that there are very good salsas. I've also had very bad salsas.
That's fair.
Yeah. So I feel like a good middle ground is to give it a 75 as a summary for all salsas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nice. All right.
I agree with that. I feel like salsa might have been one of the top five reasons I was chunky middle school through high school. So, like, I would say it is most definitely something that I crave all the time. I'm going to give it a strong 78. I think that's right about where it belongs.
That's funny. I ate a lot of, it was like the medium chunky salsa from Costco. It came in like a 2-pack. Mm-hmm. My mom would buy those. And you just, you know, you open that up, you pop it into a little bowl, grab a handful of chips or whatever. Perfect snack. Mm-hmm. So I definitely feel it. There's a lot of reasons why I'm chunky right now. And salsa is probably on that list somewhere. But as you said, yeah, it's a, you know, we talk about it. It's a staple at a lot of Super Bowl parties. You can almost always rely on it. It's, you know, the more homemade it gets, the better it gets, I think. Like, you know, if somebody's like, oh, yeah, we made the salsa yourself. You're like, that shit is going to slap and be spicy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you're like, but it'll be, you know, it'll be great. So... I am going to put it, I'll put it at a 70, just a 72. I crave it. I don't eat it all the time. It can be a lot better, a lot worse, but 72, I like it. I guess you want to go Logan, then Hannah, so, because that's what it looks like on our frame. Yeah.
So... I want to clarify something before we continue the episode, which I probably should have asked before we went live, because I instigated this argument on this program a while ago, and I don't think I ever got an answer to it. Mm-hmm. Are we grading on like a grade school curve or like a normal statistic curve?
So
from 0 to 100,
we should be grading on a 0 to 100 statistical curve. What it's really become is this has become a grading scale of sorts. Is if we're being real honest with ourselves, and it's all on the frame of being fast food. So we're talking about like a 95. If I rate a food item on here, a 95, you know, the cheesy gordita crunch, 95. Fantastic. If I go to Kansas City and I go to Jack Stack, which is the fancy barbecue restaurant, one of the best ones in the city, and I sit down and I eat, you know, their brisket, pulled pork sampler with their amazing sides and it's an incredible experience, perfect wine pairing. And I go, I would rate this meal a 98 out of 100. I wouldn't say that the Jack Stack meal is just, it's not cheesy gordita crunch Jack Stack meal, you know? So I would say keep it all in the range of fast food. If you're like my perfect fast food item, that's 100. If you're like, I have to have this. Oh, it slaps. But yeah, so... But I think we've said it. If it's above a 70, you like crave it at times.
Okay. That clarifies this up. So I have never craved salsa in my entire life.
Interesting.
Like homemade. Like if I see salsa at a Super Bowl, which is also what I'm assuming I'm basing this context on, since it's a Super Bowl episode, I go to the Super Bowl party and I have multiple dishes to choose from. Salsa is never the first one I go for.
Fair.
Or if I ever go for it at all. Now, this restaurant style medium one, I will say, is probably the prime meridian of salsa. Like, salsas, if they're good or not are probably compared to this more than anything.
Yeah.
And with that in mind, because this is the Prime Meridian, I'm giving it a flat 70 based on the weighted scale that you described to me.
Flaring?
That is the comparison to which all other things are based.
You also have to remember that Logan, imagine Logan is like an Irishman. Like, he has the taste buds of like meat and potatoes. He doesn't like anything spicy, hot. That is not his cup of tea. So he's a little bit biased when it comes to this judgment, I feel.
Fair enough.
It was, but I just need to give them context that you have no sense of
taste.
Taste, yeah.
Fair enough.
I'll hear your grade then, oh connoisseur of spice.
I agree with the 75, so I'm going to also go with 75. It was with me with the Lunchables, the old like salsa and nacho cheese combo.
The nacho one. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And you can put fruit in it. It's very versatile. I'm going to give it a 75.
Fair enough. Okay, so let's move on. The next one we've got up is the French onion dip, which was provided by Cole. Sorry, the first one, Joe nominated the salsa. Cole has nominated the French onion dip. And I would say, and what I will put a disclaimer on, I think my favorite actual dip is probably buffalo chicken. But it's just one that you can't, like, find everywhere. That's one that's generally homemade.
It's another one of those deli dips. Or if you're going to find it, it's going to be in the deli section where right. they made it.
But it's really hit or miss whether or not your store makes it or not. So our next one up is French onion. I think I got Dean's.
Dean's.
You got Dean's. Cole had, what was that, a purple lid one?
A&E.
Like A&E.
Yeah, Anderson Erickson.
Nice.
The local.
And they got Lay's.
Oh, nice. A classic Lay's dip. All right. Cheers, folks. There's going to be a lot of crunch on this episode. For all the people on Spotify, they're just like, Jesus Christ, I can tell they're eating chips today.
So, just right off one thing, I'm not going to lie. And this isn't my grading, this is just a comment.
Sure.
I almost went out and grabbed a bag of like Ruffles specifically for this dip.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my opinion, that is the only way to eat this dip is with Ruffles or like wavy Lay's. That's
yep. what
I got. I can tell you, I did Frito-Lay's scoops. I have Tostitos scoops and Frito-Lay's scoops. And I was like, well, this is a thicker dip. I'm going to have to get a thicker chip, you know? It was not great with the Frito-Lay's chip off the bat. But I know I like a French onion dip, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's the wavy chips, the normal ones, add extra salt. Mm-hmm. And just that's what we've always had it with, is all that extra salt from the chip.
You need bad chips for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, to the people that, you know, dip healthy stuff in your dips, you know, fuck you. That's not what it's for, you know. You've committed to eating poorly if you're eating dips, you know. It's not fair for you to be dipping your celeries and your carrots and stuff. I need unhealthy fried chips. What is that?
You should just kick them out of the party at that point.
Right, it's like, come on.
Oh, yeah. I brought my baby carrots. Like, I watched the puppy bowl at home.
I've got a veggie tray here to just promote myself as a person, but other than that, it's only there for show. Do not eat the veggies. But
Lucy don't touch
the dips now, too.
Yeah. No, that's a bad
My cat is full asleep now. She's moved up onto the bed. All right, so French onion dip was Cole. Cole.
Correct.
Hit us with your Super Bowl fun fact as we eat some more French onion dip here.
Yes, sir. I think my Super Bowl fun fact is super fun. It is from the Super Bowl 39, 2005, hosted by Jacksonville, Florida. The interesting thing was that they were given the opportunity to host, and this is probably the most Jacksonville thing I've heard of. They did not have enough hotel rooms to host the Super Bowl. So Jacksonville, in their bid to serve as the Super Bowl's host, they had to recruit not one, not two, but you guessed it, 5 cruise ships to dock to be able to be used as housing for the event weekend. So, yeah, that is five cruise ships worth of people.
Interesting.
That's a hell yeah for me.
And that's like, I don't know if you've watched watched The Good Place. Great television series, but
heard good things.
They talk a lot about Jacksonville, Florida, because the least intelligent member of the cast, he's from Jacksonville, Florida, and there are a lot of Jacksonville, Florida jokes in that show, and I don't know if that's really helped with my opinion, but this just sounds like, that's just Jacksonville being Jacksonville. So
bad time to tell you I'm from Jacksonville, Florida, huh?
Oh, jeez. Oh, shoot, dude.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, that's, I don't know, is that an upgrade or a downgrade? If you go to the Super Bowl thinking that you've got to stay on a hotel, if you get to stay on a cruise ship instead, like, does it come with the benefits? Like, do I get unlimited drinks if I buy a...
No, I'm going to guess no, because it's probably not staffed if it's docked.
Oh.
That's probably fair.
Maybe.
But, I mean, it's got to be staffed somewhat, because it's still got to be a hotel level. Esque, but I guess you pay. I don't know what I've never been on a cruise actually, but was it $700-$800 for a cruise? Somewhat, and one of those things that ranges quite a bit, I think. Also,
yeah, it does range, but I feel like you could find them for like $300 or $400. It's just then obviously it's a cruise, so you have to get the $200 all included alcohol package,
right? Of course, oh yeah,
you have to, or it's not fun,
yeah.
I mean, positive part about a cruise ship is, unlike a hotel room or a hotel with like a single hotel bar, cruise ships generally have many a bar. So if they are staffed, if they're fully staffed, you could do like a bar crawl, but you're literally just on your cruise ship.
You're in the hotel.
And do you get drunker on cruise ships because of the vertigo thing, or you just feel drunker? What's the deal with that also? Like, I know some people struggle, like...
Probably the second one.
It's like you like get more drunk because of the feel of the waves and stuff like that. And
it's probably the vertigo part.
Yeah.
And then at a certain level, you're also probably dehydrated from all the sun.
Yeah.
Interesting. I just feel like there's a lot of, you know, we all, you know, it's all like, damn, we got to ride on a cruise ship. But at the same time, you know, get to ride on a cruise ship for the whole time. It's kind of. But, interesting. So that is that is incredibly Jacksonville and incredibly Florida. Like if Tampa, like you could have said this was any Florida, in any city in Florida. You're like, Orlando hosted the Super Bowl this year. They had to have cruise ships drive in, even though Orlando's in the middle of Florida. But I'd still be like, you know what? I believe it, dude. I believe that they had cruise ships park on Disney, or like Miami, I think, is the exclusion. I couldn't imagine this happening in Miami, but personal biases probably. But it's, you know, it's just very interesting. Yeah. But okay, cool. So
I have an embarrassing story involving a cruise ship.
Oh.
So the short version for the purpose of this podcast is I was on a cruise ship three years ago for my little sister's graduation present from my parents, so we all went on a cruise ship.
Oh, that's fun.
And it was a Disney cruise. And as it turns out, I had to be the only person who was single in between the ages of 20 and 29 on this boat. And the reason I know that is because they have like the pre-planned events.
Oh, yeah.
And then they like segregate you off. So it's like, men go to this side of the boat, women go to this side of the boat, and age in a different day. Age is blank, go to this side, because they're like trying to force social interaction to make it the Disney experience.
Right.
And I swear to God, there was like the 20 something single event, and I was the only person who showed up for 4 hours. And there was a staff of like 12 people
just feeding the drinks
for the event, and it was just me. And I got wasted because they felt so bad for me.
Right.
That they just kept buying me drinks.
That's incredible. Yeah. Yeah, just keep on feeding. Yeah, you had a personal staff of 12 people to just feed you drinks. Just keep on giving you drinks.
Well, that's the part that made it the worst was they turned like the lights off for like the outside for the event because it was literally just me after like the first hour. So like the crew came in because they thought this like no one came. So there's like Disney princesses and shit that came like 2.5 hours in that are all like, you know, 20-something-year-old college students.
Hey, there you go. There you go.
There, sloppy by myself, like leaning at the bar.
It's like, if there's ever a time to hit on a Disney princess, why not then, huh?
Hey, how's it going, Cinderella? You wanna do some of that?
Wanna hang out? Can I buy you a drink? Just kidding, they're free. Get it?
Yeah. Anna really liked that story, so I thought I'd tell it down.
It's incredible. I think, and then you struck out with every single Disney princess. Very.
I didn't say anything because they all looked at me with the same way you look at an injured puppy.
Oh, no.
In their eyes, and I went, "Yeah, there's nothing that's about to happen right now." Another double whiskey and coke, please.
nobody goes on dates with the injured puppy.
No,
unless they're weirdos. But beside the point. Let's
looking for a drunk frog to kiss.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. You're like they're princesses looking for the frog. That makes a lot of sense. All right. So let's rate French onion dip. We'll start with Cole. I don't know why I'm even saying anything. Cole, how do you feel about French onion dip?
Well, I think French onion dip crushes. I obviously, being the person who gave the Shining recommendation, I don't know what it is, and I know it's like Joe mentioning the salt was actually like kind of a breakthrough. I was like, that has to make it what like brings it over the top for me, because I've had it before with like celery or with like carrots or something like that. Because they came, like, French onion dip came in a tray. And I was like, oh, sure, this dip is better than ranch, or it's, like, better than just nothing. But then having it with chips, oh, that's the spot. So I'm giving it a nice, firm 85.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah, because as we were saying with, like, queso and, like, buffalo chicken dip earlier, I was saying that those are probably my two favorite dips. We're going to eat queso here in a second. But, like, all the drunker I get going through these Super Bowl parties and stuff, I'll start dipping whatever into whatever. By the end of the night, I'm dipping chicken wings and queso, and I'm eating brisket with buffalo chicken dip on it. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's limitless. What you can do once you're drunk with all these ingredients of food, it's limitless.
When you're wasted, it all goes to the same place.
Exactly. Barbecue sauce on my titties. Exactly. Everything. Anything could happen. That's only happened to me 5 times max, barbecue sauce on my titties. But but I will say French onion dip is one of those that has to be dipped in chips. I totally agree that by the end of the night, I'm not dipping anything into French onion dip, unless I was like maybe wings, because like you dip it in ranch. Maybe I'll get ambitious enough to be like wings, sour cream dip, that's fine. But
yeah,
at the end of the day, I think it's a very solid dip. You know, one of those classics. What was salsa was a 72.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to let's put French onion at like a 74. A very, very neutral dip. But, yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. But, all right. Moving on again to Logan and then Hannah, right?
Okay. So, for me, I really enjoy the French onion dip in a very small burst because it's such a heavy dip. Like, it's always one of the things I grab first at the party, but I almost never go back to it because, like, if I do that, I can't keep snacking for the rest of the Super Bowl, which is what I'm grading this all on.
Mm-hmm. Definitely a first quarter dip.
Enjoyable in a short burst. And because of that handicap of that only being able to eat a couple chips worth, unless I just want to really hate myself for the next few hours. Mm-hmm. Probably a 72 for me.
All right. All right.
I feel like I'm going to be the hater of the group on this one. Because you can only enjoy it, as was said, with the potato chips. You can't enjoy it with a tortilla chip. You can't enjoy it with any other thing. And because of that, I'm going to put it at like a 68.
Okay.
Come on, you can make that nicer. So here's my thing. At a Super Bowl party, guaranteed that there will be some kind of wavy dip chip. It's a Super Bowl party. There's going to be Ruffles or Wavy Lays. It doesn't matter. And just like with the salsa, I think this is an absolute staple of a dip. I'm giving it a 75. And also, it's so easy to make. Like, it doesn't range a whole lot in how, in like, salsa can be bad. But French onion dip, at its core, is just sour cream with onion powder, some salt, and I think, is it dill? Little bit of dill.
This maybe? One has dill. No. I'm not sure they all have dill, but I'm pretty sure this one has dill.
I was gonna say it's pretty much sour cream, onion, and salt, and that's it. And it's the easiest thing ever to make because you can't make it wrong. If you taste and go, "Oh, that's too much salt," you add more sour cream.
Right.
It's great. Perfect. I give it a 75.
Yeah, because like I felt odd rating French onion dip above salsa, but I think you make a good point is that it is always going to be this. Mm-hmm. There is not like, oh, my mom makes the best French onion dip you've ever had. I'd be like, dude, it's French onion dip. What is it? Is it 3% better than every other dip that everybody else has ever made? It's like, you know, I'm not going to show up to your party just because your mom's making her famous French onion dip, you know? But like, yeah. but salsa is one of those that.
Party for the record.
You said what?
I'll show up to the party.
Yeah.
If you tell me your mom made the best French onion dip that I'll ever experience, I'll show up. Not true, but I'll show up.
I'll try it. I'll just be skeptical. I'm allowed to be skeptical, right?
Well, and like, I completely agree with Cole. It's just an absolute staple. It's an awesome dip. But where salsa was an average of all the salsas was a 75, this, it kind of sits always in that 75 to 80 range. There's not a whole lot of.
Yeah.
Never breaks out of that shell.
Right.
And goes higher.
Yeah. Yeah. While I said there could be no bad salsas, I guess people can make bad salsas that you don't enjoy. But it's hard to make a bad French onion dip. What?
No, I'm joking. For all those people that don't like cilantro.
Well, some people taste like soap. Does anybody have the weird soap cilantro thing?
No.
I don't think so.
There's one of those diseases. It's one of those weird taste bud things that happens in your brain that people can't tell the difference between cilantro and soap.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, right? That's the saddest life you could live. But, okay. So that'll do it for French onion dip. I'm glad I didn't eat dinner. I'm starting to feel full. I was worried I wouldn't feel full just because it was dips. And I'm like, can you actually get full on dips? I'm here to tell you. You can. I'm getting there. This isn't quite a mukbang. If we ate all the dips, I guess it'd be considered a mukbang. I don't know. We're off topic already, and we haven't even introduced the dip. Okay, so this third dip is mine. It is Tostitos. I got the queso blanco. Now, I will say that I am a person that if a Super Bowl party or any kind of party where you're having people over and they're going to eat any type of food, you have to get the Velveeta. Chop it up, buy a few cans of Rotel, throw it in the crock pot, maybe brown up some taco meat or something, and then
sausage.
Sausage also. I made it with Impossible meat one time. It wasn't terrible. But I think every party's got to have a queso. But we had to go one that I didn't want to make anybody cook dips and things like that. So we just went Tostitos, and I think the white queso is better than their yellow queso. But it does have a little more spice on it. I've heard somebody here has an Irish palate that might not enjoy the spice that much, but
I'm here for the content.
Fair enough. But
No, hold on. You're getting it all wrong. That's what the cats are for.
No, well, the cats are the content. Yeah, true.
I've been waiting for this segue for about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I see Cole also has a cat tower, and we could do triple catception.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's probably cuddling with mom, TBH, but maybe. Maybe.
You should get a cat that loves you more.
Possible.
He actually does. It's just cold in my basement, and he is wherever it's warm and there's a person.
He's a whore for that stuff.
That's fair.
He's all about it.
That's fair. My cat is always around me in some capacity. There she is on the bed. She's not a big cuddling cat, but she is an always around kind of cat. She doesn't like to be picked up. She doesn't like to be do any of that shit, but she'll always be around. So she'll be in this window. She'll be on the bed. She'll be on the floor. She'll be around in the room if I'm in that room. But
and in the emote panel if you're not subscribed to Truman.
Oh, yeah. The snow megaloles. Yeah. But
which you should be.
So to the queso. I think it's got – I think this queso's got – some quesos just have no heat. And I enjoy queso with just a little bit of heat. And it's got you know actual chopped peppers in there and stuff. It ends up doing pretty well. And so yeah, I like it on the jump. But let's get into my Super Bowl fun fact. And my Super Bowl fun fact is one that I find the funnest, the most fun. I don't know. But it's that the New England Patriots have lost the most Super Bowls out of anybody else. But sadly, they have also won the most Super Bowls. So.
At five, if I'm not incorrect.
Lost or won?
Lost. They've won six. I'm not an idiot. But I'm pretty sure it's five that they've lost, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually a tie between them and the Denver Broncos. They've both lost five. But, there we go. Yes, the Patriots have lost and won the most Super Bowls. So, it's funnier about Denver, because we hate Denver as well. It's very funny that they have also lost the most amount of Super Bowls, but New England, sadly, has also won the most amount of Super Bowls, which is unfortunate. But
well, it makes you wonder what's up with that team, considering that they're that good, but also that bad.
Well, to be fair, they lost.
Sorry, overlooking the fact that to get to the Super Bowl,
right,
you have to be pretty good.
Well, they lost two Super Bowls before Tom Brady got there.
He muted himself and doesn't know.
They lost two Super Bowls before they got there. Which is everybody else could hear me. They lost two Super Bowls before Tom Brady got there, and then they went 6-3 with Tom Brady. So
damn.
Before Tom Brady went to New England, they were a nothing franchise. That's like the funniest part to think, because I think we all grew up in an era, by the time that we understood what was really going on with sports, Tom Brady was at its pinnacle for sports. And
he's already on the way down.
So pinnacles have... I mean, Patriots fans have always been assholes. And did I do it again? No. But Patriots fans have always been assholes to us. And always been the, like, front runners and the, you know, sore winners and everything. But we've never known a losing Patriots team until now. And now the Chiefs get to be the assholes for a few years here, which is fun. But, so yeah, I just thought it was funny to find out that the New England Patriots have won and lost the most Super Bowls. But it's a lot like LeBron. LeBron's like 4-6 or in the finals or whatever, but it's like, well, you know, you try going to 10 finals, then we'll see where it's at. It's like, yeah, you try going to 9 Super Bowls and only losing 3. So, but yeah, that is my fun fact.
Very fun.
Very cool. Well, you know who's trailing right behind them with that four Super Bowl losses.
The Bills. No, I'm
the
just
Bills
not. And
the Minnesota Vikings. Oh. With four Super Bowl losses in a single decade. You love to
That's
hate
an out.
It.
Jesus, man, could you imagine being a fan of the Minnesota Vikings? I couldn't.
Gotta be rough. Gotta be rough for those guys.
Are you genuinely friends with any Saints fans?
Saints fans? I went to high school with one Saints fan. And we were like acquaintances. Like, we played football together. But other than that, like, I think we have a buddy who plays Rocket League with us every now and again who tunes in the stream. I think he's a Saints fan. But I don't really know any Saints fans.
Yeah, I was mostly asking Cole, because I have to imagine that's a pretty tumultuous relationship, being a Vikings fan, being friends with Saints fans.
Yeah,
the Vikings have absolutely ruined the Saints Super Bowl window, and it is shut now. They're in cap hell.
But do you know what happened in 2009? When the Saints won their Super Bowl, and they beat the Vikings because the Vikings quarterback at the time, little known guy Brett Favre, threw an interception in the NFC Championship while driving to kick. All they had to do, they were in field goal territory. All he had to do, he had wide open field in front of him, was run up a couple of yards and slide.
Like five more yards,
Instead, he throws across his body running across the field, throws a pick. The Saints end up just holding the ball. They go into overtime. The Saints score. On a rule, they score a field goal in overtime, and that automatically ends it. This is a rule that the very next year ends up getting changed. In the playoffs, now you can't kick a field goal for sudden death. The Vikings were the reason for that change. During that game, Brett Favre actually, what forced his retirement, there was the Saints...
Bounty gate.
The bounty gate. They had a whole scandal. Sean Payton ends up getting in trouble for where they were basically encouraging and paying players to hit after the whistle, even if they got flags, hit the quarterback as much as possible. So quarterback protection rules also came into play because of that game. So, I don't feel too bad for Saints fans because they did win a Super Bowl that year. So that was like my first big Vikings heartbreak memory, was losing that NFC championship right there.
Just,
that was a good one.
Bounty Gate just cursed them. They pissed off God, and God was like, Saints fans, never again.
Which is hilarious because they're the Saints.
I would say neither of you guys are Saints fans, correct?
No.
I think you're a Bengals fan, and then, right?
Yeah, and then, unfortunately. Factory of sadness.
Hannah, are you a fan of any specific team? I know you guys are kind of in a weird triangle of teams there.
Yeah, if West Virginia had a team, but I can't be a Steelers fan. I hate their fans so much, so...
I respect it. Yeah. That's like the fun thing about living in New Mexico. It's a hodgepodge of NFL fans, you know? So, like, the closest people are, like, the Broncos or the Raiders or Dallas or... But,
what about Arizona?
So it's just a random mix. So last year, the guy I sat across from in the office was a 49ers fan, so I got to give him a hard time the whole time during the week. And then I was, like, a pretty gracious winner. And then one of my other buddies is a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan. And so that I work with, and so we've like wagered like a meal on it and stuff. So I think that's a lot of fun too. That, you know, like in Kansas City, you don't get that. Like, if for the guys that live in Kansas City, everybody's a Chiefs fan, unless you're like that weird guy that's a Minnesota Vikings fan or whatever.
Who's a Raiders fan?
Yeah, what a weirdo.
Right. All right. So let's talk queso. I think it's a good queso. Again, a solid party dip. One of my favorites. I'm always putting queso on at a Super Bowl party. I can eat it throughout the entire game. It's a heavier dip, though, but I'll eat it throughout the entire thing. I'm going to rank it. I'm going to give it a 79. That's about right where I put it. So.
That's reasonable.
And then I guess that moves to Logan. How do you feel about it? How did it hit your potato and meat palate?
Okay, so I will say the queso we're using has jalapenos in it, so I'm absolutely miserable right now. But overall, I can, unlike the French onion dip, I can eat queso endlessly for a Super Bowl. That is not a palate limiter. Like, if you just set a 55-gallon drum of queso in front of me in a big old bag of chips, it might be all gone by the end of the game. So, I'm going to give queso overall an 80. But the specific queso I just ate, I'm going to give it a 50 because... I think I'd start crying if I ate more than one chip.
Fair enough.
See, I'm like fine.
Yeah. Right. So you gotta do what I did. I got chocolate milk at the store because when I was browsing online, picking out what I was getting, I picked up a thing of chocolate milk to drink with all these dairy dips that we're having.
I was just gonna say you just have to be not a little bitch.
Whoa! Whoa! All right! All right! Whoa! Whoa! I guess we're never gonna have guests on the show again. Thanks, Joe. Scare him off, why don't you?
Yeah, put that in the file of things I should do.
Okay, I rest firm on the laurels if I know that this is the internet and anonymity is a thing, and that he could probably kick my ass.
Joe knows that he's talking tough because he's behind a computer monitor and he doesn't care.
No one does that. No one on the internet does that.
No.
Oh, all right. Hannah, how are you? How are you feeling about it?
Queso is a love in my life. So I'm going to give it an 80.
Fair enough. Nice. But do you have a different score for this one specifically, like Logan, or are you just?
It is kind of trash. I will agree with him. I don't think it's 50 trash, but
I gave it a 51. It wasn't total trash.
Well, yeah. So I'd give it like a 65. This particular one.
Okay. Joe, how do you feel?
Like you said, queso is a staple. It's less one of my favorite. It's not a staple in my regime. What? But it is a staple, and I do like it. I'm going to put this one at a...
Nice.
I'll do what Hannah wouldn't do earlier. I'll give it a 69.
Nice. Nice. Cool. Oh.
You can't really miss. And that's all I have to say.
Yeah, I actually, in disagreement, I think queso can be missed. I personally, like, this queso was almost not what I wanted today. It was like when I first tried it, I was like, oh dang, this is okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of just like melted cheese in a can queso.
Yeah,
like when people just throw like, yeah, there are a lot of those. So the kick though is really nice. Like I like feeling a little bit of spice as I'm eating more of it. It could be more. I like painful kick. But I would say, for me, it doesn't knock my socks off. Queso itself is always tasty, but it won't clap quite as hard as the French onion dip. I give this a 77.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. So that'll bring us on to our fourth dip out of five. We've got a spinach artichoke dip. And again, I think this is one of those where I think we all got different spinach artichoke dips. I think I've got... Again, I'm guessing on this one. I think it's La Terrafina. I know Cole had a... You had something weird, right? Oh.
No, I just had the Hy-V spinach artichoke dip.
The Hy-V spinach artichoke dip. Joe, what did you have? Did you just have a...
I have Price Chopper spinach artichoke dip.
Price Chopper spinach artichoke dip. And you guys also got a local West Virginia?
Yeah, so we got our deli spinach artichoke dip.
Nice.
So our market, the ones they make fresh and have to keep in the fridge.
So real quick, I just want to point out, if I do the math correctly, everybody but Truman supported their local grocery stores. And then Truman just did it.
Truman supported his local delivery man.
No, I went and picked it up. I went and picked up the groceries. They didn't have any of their local stuff on the site. I don't know what to tell you. Smith's, make a better site. That's all I got. But
Kroger, man.
Kroger, I don't know.
Hey, Kroger, let's go.
Mm-hmm. Oh. But yeah, mine's like a Parmesan spinach artichoke dip. And it is incredible off the bat. Off the rip. Absolutely fantastic.
Oh yeah.
Somebody is saying that spicy guac from Walmart actually slaps. No cap. That rhymes. But yeah, this is, you know, off off the rip, first opinion, incredible. I love me a spinach artichoke dip.
Not gonna lie, kind of wish we'd done this earlier in the episode when the three dips that I thought should be hot were hot.
Yeah.
However,
how do you guys eat your spinach artichoke dip, hot or cold?
preferred hot.
Either way, honestly, it gets a little more melty. Like, the better the spinach artichoke dip is, the more warm it should be. If that makes sense. Like, restaurant ones that are making their own, that should come out hot in a bowl. But, yes, like, for, like, this, that I'm just eating it out of a tub, just, I got no problem just scooping it out of the tub, you know? It's cold. But I definitely agree, when it's, like, stringier, meltier cheese, fantastic.
Mm. Mm-hmm. This is good. All right. That's probably because I'm used to going out to Mexican restaurants with my family after church. And we would just always get spinach dip for the entire table.
Espinaca dip?
Sorry, yes, espinaca dip.
All right.
I translated for everybody out there.
Ah, nice.
I was being considerate.
It means spinach.
Very cultured.
Very cultured. All right. Logan, I believe this was your dip, correct?
It was. It was.
All right. So we'll go. So you got a Super Bowl fun fact for us?
I do. It's much shorter than the other one, so I feel kind of bad about that. But it starts off in the form of a question.
Oh, okay.
So, does anyone here with the football aficionados on the podcast know why the Super Bowl is nomenclated in Roman numerals?
Man, dang it. I saw this article and I didn't read it. I saw the reason. It's like, it's simpler than you think. And I did not click on it. Does anybody else know?
No clue.
All right, why is it dictated in Roman numerals?
Because the NFL needed a easy solution for having a football season that rolled over in two different years.
Oh, okay.
So there was a concern that as the numbers went up, people would confuse it for the year in which the Super Bowl was. So they nomenclated it in Roman numerals on all the imagery, so that when you see the Lombardi trophy and all the merchandise and stuff, like, it's very clear this is this Super Bowl in the series, not the year, you know, 1949, and because Roman numerals are technically infinite, there is no limit to how many Super Bowls there can be, to where there could be confusion with years. So that was their solution. And I chose that as my fun fact because I took Latin because I'm a loser in high school. And I had to learn how to do math with Roman numerals for one of my tests.
Yikes.
Like, old school abacus, write the numerals out, math. And it sucked. But I can do Roman numeral math. Hey. So there you go.
Yeah, very cool. There you go. Look at that.
All I know is I'd be that dude in the back who's like, okay, translate to normal numbers.
Then do the math.
And then just write it back.
Now, something I will say, though, that somebody pointed out, I mean, that's very fun that they were just, but, and then do you know the only Super Bowl that they didn't use Roman numerals for?
No.
Joe, you said one?
Am I correct?
You are not. Cole, do you have a guess? Do you know?
Two.
No, it was actually Super Bowl 50. They actually just had the 50 for that one. Everything else is, you know, Super Bowl XL, IX, and whatever.
I think I have a reason for that. I don't know this factually, but just with my understanding of marketing, I think I know why they chose to do that.
Just Super Bowl L?
Yeah.
Yeah.
it just turns into Super Bowl with two L's. Like, no one even notices.
Super
anymore.
Bowl. That actually, you know what? That actually makes a lot of sense. I never thought about that. I thought they were, honestly, a lot of people were like, I bet they just keep on going 50, going regular numbers from here on out. And they didn't. They went back. Right. But
I'll tell you what.
Oh.
We will gift a sub right now if any of you three can tell me what the Roman numeral for 100 is. Since we're going to have to start using it within our lifetime soon for the Super Bowl.
See?
There you go.
Nice!
I was just like, wait a second, I went to a Catholic high school. Bing!
There we go.
Thank you. There we go. Nice.
Nice.
There you go. I appreciate it. Easy $5 made there. But what I will say...
Real. Congratulations.
Is since Super Bowl 45, the logos have gotten much less cool. I don't know how many are tuned into the stream, but I've got them pulled up. They used to be fun. Like, they used to be different for each one. Like, when it was in Miami or New Orleans and stuff like that, they do all these things. And now it's honestly just the Roman numerals with the Super Bowl trophy. They've done that since 45. And I miss it. I miss the cool logos. Like,
has it been in a cool city since then?
I mean, they're always in, like, the same, like, 10 cities. Only 10 cities have hosted a Super Bowl. But it's, like, it's just not that fun. I mean, you know, Minneapolis as a city, sure. I mean, what logo would you do for that city, you know? But any other city probably is super cool.
It's the coolest city there is. It's cold as fuck. What the hell? What do you mean?
It's cold as hell.
That was also when the Prince stuff was going on. Like, Prince had just passed pretty recently with that.
Yeah, it was yeah.
And
yeah.
So,
that.
Like, if they would have done something for Prince there, I think that would have been fun. I know they did stuff at the halftime show for Prince with Minneapolis and all that, but mm-hmm. maybe the Super Bowl logo could have had some Prince stuff in it. But, yeah, so that's just all I had to say. That's what your Roman numeral thing had reminded me of, is that how boring the Super Bowl logos have gotten here in the last 10 years. But that is a fun, that's a fun little thing. Interesting.
It's a little tip of bite.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Logan, this is your dip. So I'm going to make you rank it first.
Fair enough. So I am a slut for spinach artichoke dip. Every time I go to our family's restaurant, first thing I get, mm-hmm. spinach artichoke dip.
Mm-hmm.
At a party in college one time where there's spinach artichoke dip, made friends with every single owner of the house. So that I could continue to eat the dip and not feel bad. It's a true story.
That's a cooler party than I've ever been to.
Morgantown's a wild place, dude.
Spinach artichoke dip in the parties.
It was bougie as hell.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I was a very late bloomer to spinach artichoke dip. I had never tried it until college.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I ever tried it was because someone literally just shoved a chip in my face. It's like, here, try this. Because they had made homemade spinach artichoke dip.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried it. And I was like, oh my god, this is the best thing I've ever put in my mouth. So, on that scale, this spinach artichoke dip is probably an 88. I love spinach artichoke dip. It's definitely not the best spinach artichoke dip I've ever had, but it is definitely very good. And it's definitely fresh, as well as far as, like, deli dips go. Like, this can't be more than a day or two old in the package. I think this is about as good as store-bought can be. And with that, I'm very satisfied with my grade, with the 88 for the spinach artichoke dip.
Fair enough. Hannah, how are you feeling? How do you feel about the spinach artichoke dip?
This particular one or my overall rating?
Either one, I guess. That's okay. A good question. I don't have a good answer for you.
Okay. I think Logan's hyped up the spinach artichoke dip a little bit because I like it warm with, like, the baked cheese layer on top. Like, I want the cheese to, like, be in a string form.
Oh yeah.
It comes off. So nothing, not that this dip doesn't slap, but I just want the cheese to be a string.
Melt a bit more.
She wants to reel.
This particular one I will put at an 80. It's very good. I'm surprised how good it is chilled.
Mm-hmm.
Spinach artichoke dip overall, I'm going to put an 85. I recently made a spinach artichoke dip for a potluck at work.
Ooh.
And it was like an Applebee's coffee recipe. Ooh. And the secret ingredient was Alfredo sauce, and it actually was really good.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Shit. Sorry, can we curse on this podcast? I guess
yeah.
I should have asked.
I've said
not in the Christian podcast.
I've said fuck you already like four times this episode. So
true, but I was cursed on the
first time.
All right.
Just going to peel that bandit off. I'm going to say I agree spinach artichoke dip fucking slaps. It's great warm. I give the one that I got a 72 because it's cold. I feel like if I warm this up, I'd give it somewhere close to an 80, so I'm going to give it a 79. It's good. It really is.
Fair enough.
Cold?
That's all I got. Nice. I also like if we talk about versatility of dips, my scaling has not been on versatility of dips at all. Like, I don't think French onion dip has good versatility, but I still think it has the best flavor out of any dip I've ever had in my life. But I would say this dip, I kind of get, Logan, where you're coming from, where you could, like, I feel like this is similar enough on my taste buds to what French onion dip was that I'm like, the same wildness that I go, like, I'm a slut for French onion dip. I can see how you could be a slut for spinach artichoke dip because it's so good. Even cold, mm-hmm. I feel like it would be really good if it was hot. That being said, because I haven't had it hot yet, I'm going to give it right at a 78. I think I beat queso. That's slightly above what I put queso at. So, yeah, I would put that on my plate every time I go through the line type of dip for sure.
I think it's, I think what part of it is being neutral enough to be like, cause French onion dip is neutral at it, you know, at its base, it's sour cream. Mm-hmm. It's a neutral flavor that you can eat a lot of. You're not going to get overwhelmed by it. Like there's some dips that, you know, like your seven layer dips and some guacamole, some salsas that you're like, okay, that's enough of that. Like I have had enough of this. It is, you know, I've gotten overwhelmed with spiciness from queso, or the guac is just, it's too much avocado at a point. But, like, I could eat, you know, not quite French onion dip because it's just sour cream, but I could eat spinach artichoke dip with a spoon. Like, I think somebody mentioned that they would eat French onion dip with a spoon. I would eat spinach artichoke dip with a fork or a spoon. Because it's just, it tastes like a full, neutral meal. And when it's got that cheese and that melt, it's just fantastic. My specific one, 70, 75, but spinach artichoke dip as an overall. I think out of all the ones that we're going to have today, it's probably my top one. I'm going to put it at an 83. But yeah.
Nice.
All right.
So I guess that's the we're on to the last dip, which
we're
is
here.
Hannah's choice, which is the crab dip. And one, where again, I think we got four different crab dips.
Yeah.
Joe made his own crab dip.
I could not find crab dip.
I
the two grocery stores I went to.
Aww.
Cole got a special crab dip.
Imitation crab dip.
Imitation crab. Mine's a crab queso, and I'm going to be honest with you guys. It smells terrible.
Oh, no.
I like crab dips. Like, I've had, like, I grew up where there's a Hy-Vee, and I've had that Hy-Vee crab dip. One of my favorite dips that I like, they sell it normally with the wonton chips. Incredible. And you're basically, it's like, you're just taking the wonton filling and just dipping that with wonton chips. This is not that.
Oh, are you thinking of the dip that they are now just literally labeling as crab rangoon dip?
Yeah, probably, yeah. Oh. I love that. Crab rangoon, favorite Chinese food appetizer.
Easy.
I know a lot of people, some people do egg rolls and things like that, but I think crab rangoon, I've never heard somebody order a plate of crab rangoon for the table. Somebody's like, oh, I hate crab rangoon. Why'd you order this? I think. But, all right, so let's go in on this crab dip. Let's all give our first impressions here. I think everybody else has already taken it. I think I'm the last one to eat it.
You're talking too much, bud.
Big transitions, man.
People don't want to hear us talk. They want to hear chewing sounds.
Oh, yeah. Let me.
Sorry, I just saw Truman's face.
Hold on. I can do better.
Oh. All right, guys. That is This is one of the worst dips I've ever had in my life. I'm sorry. The crab dip is good. Saying crab dip was a great suggestion. Whatever the fuck this was, crab queso, or whatever we've decided to do here, awful. Absolutely terrible. This is the worst thing I've ever had. This is one of the worst things I've ever put in my mouth. What were you saying?
Crab dip is good.
Crab dip is good. This is not. This is whatever this is bad. That is bad.
That's crabs with cheese.
But like mac and but like crab mac is good. Lobster mac, all those are good. What did they do? What happened here? Private selection crab queso dip. I've eaten two of the worst things that we've eaten on this podcast in the last week. The one on Monday, and now this. This is upsetting. You guys all get to enjoy your great homemade crab dip made at the deli. Fantastic. This is shit, Kroger. This is shit. All right. I'm going back to the spinach artichoke dip. While you guys all eat your crab dip, I'm opening back up the spinach artichoke dip. Hannah, you wanna give us your Super Bowl fun facts?
All right, I kind of stayed with the dip theme. I'm sorry, ooh, guys.
Okay.
So I'm gonna have you guys guess how many million pounds of guacamole do you think is consumed on Super Bowl Sunday?
Oh man, again, one of those that I feel like I've heard before.
Well, given that Super Bowl Sunday is the second.
4 million, 6 million, or 8 million.
Damn it! I was gonna say 7 million.
I gotta give it all the money.
That's really upsetting. I was gonna say 7 million. Well, you guys went 8, so I'm gonna.
I was gonna say 8 before I got the multiple choice. So I'm pulling it.
$1, Bob. Six million.
It was 8 million.
Oh no!
Guacamole is consumed on Super Bowl Sundays.
8 million dang. Pounds of guacamole.
How does that L taste?
Tastes like shit.
That's crazy.
I'm don't remind me.
Better or worse than the crab dip?
Anything could taste better than that crab dip, man. Oh my god. I'm legitimately throwing it away.
Hold on. Can I ask you one favor? Go heat it up and maybe try it again?
I heated it up.
Oh.
It's been heated up.
Wait, but did you try it warm or just like back down to room temp though?
I think I licked it when it was warm and had a feeling that it was not good. I think I had like, I some of it had spilled over and I just went, nope, and it was awful. And I think I remember it being awful and I smelt it again and I was like, oh, this is going to be bad, isn't it? Like I was like, maybe there was something on my finger or something. No.
I think Sarah just clipped Truman's reaction.
Oh my gosh.
I needed to turn it off. I simply didn't. I was going to.
Oh my gosh. It's awful. But
I looked up at the exact right sentence. At the exact right second, I thought Truman was about to go out of his chair after he said, I'm the last one to try it.
Oh my god. Hey, that being said, guys, let's rank it, huh? Let's rank the dips.
Yeah, why not?
How do you guys feel why about not? The crab dip that you guys ate?
I'm a little bit of an elitist when it comes to crab dip. Ooh. I think if it's made with like imitation crab, no, it needs to be the lump crab. So this is definitely imitation. This is spinach artichoke crab dip. It was.
That's all they had for the record.
Weird saltiness. I didn't really like ours.
Interesting.
I don't know how you felt about it. I'm gonna.
You'll find out, am I right?
I think this is the worst one.
There you go.
50. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was impressed with it.
You're talking about that specific crab dip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But how about crab dip in general?
Crab dip in general, I'd put at an 80 because I just fuck with some crab dip.
Interesting. All right.
But it needs to be with, like, bread. I think that's the best way to consume crab dip is on a piece of, like, buttered bread. And...
Ooh, okay. So you're saying that Panera should come out with crab dip and solely so you can have it in a bread bowl.
Yes.
I've got a seafood boil place here, and they have, like, a bread that has, like, a seafood spread or whatever that they call it on it. It's, like, basically just, like, mayonnaise, seafood, and cheese. They spread that on a bread. It's incredible.
Cool. Alrighty. Well, I'm up next. I'm the one that made it myself, and all I can say is I really want to go heat this up and try it again. Because mine was really good. I had actual lump crab. It's basically just cream cheese and, surprisingly, a third of a cup of mayo, which is fine. Creaminess, a little bit of salt. Other than that, it's great. Mm. Fantastic.
What was the ranking?
Give it a solid... Oh, I'll put this in an 83. 80. No. This one's an 87. I give this an 87.
Really?
My crab dip.
Oh, 87. All right. Cool. How do you feel about the crab dip?
I was actually genuinely surprised. I didn't know what to expect. But, yeah, it tastes, like you said, it tastes like a crab rangoon filling. And I've had, like, I just had the other day for the first time some, like, crab rangoon dip. And this was so much better. I think the other one tries to like imitate the sweet and sour sauce, and it just makes it all kind of gross. It's like a mush.
Yeah.
But this is good, and I would give it a firm. It could be just because I was really surprised, but I would give it a firm 81. It was easily the second best dip that I've had tonight.
I guess that means it's my turn. I'm telling you, I'll show you guys what it looks like, because it looks innocent enough. Like, no, it doesn't, but I don't even know why I showed you. You can't even see it in the camera. But this dip is terrible. This is the worst thing we've had. This is the worst thing I've had on the show. I just spilled some on my finger. I almost licked it. I literally can't even bring myself to do it. I normally just lick dip off fingers, but nope. I gotta use a napkin for that one. I will say that that's the worst thing we've had on the show by far. Nothing's come close. And I'm going to rank this one specifically, the Private Selection Crab Dip, Crab Queso from Kroger. If you're in Kroger and you're looking at Crab Queso, you think that sounds good? Fucking don't. I'm going to give this an all-time record of a score. I'm giving this a solid 6.
It's a single digit. That's single digits.
Oh my god.
It deserves it. It deserves it.
The closest I've gotten is, didn't Aaron give something like a teens?
He gave it like a 20. I think he gave the peppermint. No. It was one of the seltzers. He gave it really low, I think.
It was one of the ones that tasted fine. Was it the cranberry one? Or like the apple pie, where he just went, no, this one's fucking garbage, and gave it like a...
Yeah, it was like ginger snap or apple pie or something, yeah. But crab dip, the one that like Cole has, like I've had that crab dip before from Hy-Vee. Incredible.
Yep.
Incredible crab dip. I'd put that dip 78. But I would use that, because we always average the scores for the dips and stuff like that, or for the items. I would use that score to average off the dip. So you don't have a 6 dragging down crab dip, because crab dip doesn't deserve that. This should not count. Crab queso, never again. Not even once. I'm not even gonna order it at restaurants because I don't trust it. That's how much this has ruined this for me. Is that somebody else will have to order it and pay for it and then be like, it's good. Like they'll have to taste it before I'm not gonna be the first one in, for sure. But 78 regular crab dip, 6 for that crab dip.
I hope you know if you ever come to visit us, I am going to lay the trap and tell you it's good no matter what.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I'll straight up order it. Try and be like, man, this shit's awesome.
Unrelated, I'm never going to West Virginia now. Just to avoid the crab dip. All right, Logan, bring up the rear. The final ranking right. of the fifth dip of the show.
Classic rear of Logan. So... crab spinach artichoke dip. So I didn't think it'd be as hard to find crab dip as it was at the store.
I just think you look with your special eyes and you didn't.
So I asked for two separate people's help finding the crab dip because no one could find it.
Okay.
Okay.
They probably have specialized too. Were they men?
No.
Okay.
Hannah is way too for such an inclusive podcast. But anyway. So, crab, spinach, or artichoke dip is what we ended up with. And I was surprised by this particular dip. This tasted much better than what I originally anticipated it would be like. I didn't think I'd quite have Truman's reaction, but I, Lucy. Oh my God.
The star of the show.
So, I went, when I dipped my chip in this dip, I went, this is going to be like a 40 or a 30. Like, the consistency wasn't great for dipping. The smell wasn't great. I put it in my mouth way above expectation.
I get that a lot. I'm sorry. It was a layup. I'm sorry.
Hi, Dad. How's it going?
My dad, parents are the biggest fan of the podcast until now. Sorry. Yes. What are you sorry. So,
I give this particular crab dip a 72. I would eat a couple chips of it at a party. Probably wouldn't go back to it after a couple chips.
Fair enough.
Crab dip in general, average together of all the crab dips I've ever had, I'm going to have to give it a 75.
But you got to think about this crab dip being out there somewhere, bringing down that average. You got to think about that.
Okay, 72. With that crab dip existing. Yeah. It's something I will go for if it's presented, but it's not a tier or B tier if I were to have a menagerie of choices.
Fair enough.
I guess way to put it. But it is an enjoyable experience overall.
Nice.
Is my rating.
Nice.
And now it's time where we reach the point in the show where I say, hey, did anybody write down those scores?
And that's where I say, well, of course I did. I have all of them.
You complete me.
So let's start from the bottom. The worst dip that we rated tonight actually started at the very beginning when we went with salsa. Salsa, we gave a composite score of 74, average score, I guess, of 74.
Mm-hmm.
We moved up from there ever so slightly to the glorious French onion dip and only gave it a 74.8. Unfortunate. The 0.8 was literally just me giving it an 85. then from there, in what would be third place, we actually, once again, the very next dip we tried, the queso blanco, we gave a 76.8. And then in second place, we ended up giving the crab dip an 80.2. And the winner tonight was the spinach artichoke dip at 82.6.
Wow.
Very high score.
Incredible.
Six and a half average points higher than the salsa, which is very impressive. Quite a win.
Incredible.
I'd say we had a tight grouping here.
I think all five are still staples for any Super Bowl party. I think, obviously, spinach artichoke dip is a must. And I think crab dip should be on your radar. I think that's one that's not on a lot of people's radars for Super Bowl parties is crab dips.
I was about to say that. I feel like I would see these other four at a party, but I don't know if I've ever just seen crab dip at a Super Bowl party.
I can tell you, I will not have crab dip at a Super Bowl party this year, but I would, maybe I'll make my own crab dip to have at a party or something. I will not be having this one. All these other four, I'll bust out for the Super Bowl. This one is going in the trash literally when I end this show. Just so I, because I'll forget. Like, literally picking this up a few times, I've gotten dip on my fingers and almost, like, thought about eating it. Like, just now, I'm going to just, no, I refuse. I'd rather.
Make your both of your hands.
That's, that was, man. I am a lot of things, but I'm not a smart man. Joe, let's wrap things up here, boys. And girl, I appreciate everybody being here. I appreciate all the suggestions for the dips and things. As always, we'll wrap up here. Joe, anything that you would like to shout out anywhere we can find you, Google you, Facebook. Yeah.
Technically, I have LinkedIn. A Twitch account, but I don't stream. So go try to find me anywhere. It's pretty much Booty Boy. Go for it. Look for me.
Which is BOUTTEBOY.
Just full docs. Let's go for it.
Well, you don't want people out there Googling Booty Boy the other way. Yeah. I feel like that could be
They're going to find a lot of incorrect but also correct results.
In incognito tab, I'll Google it for everybody else off stream here while Cole Cole brings. Oh wait, I actually spelled booty the way. Hold on.
Don't you all have to go on your search history to remember?
No, I it's exactly what you guys think it would be. Yep. All right. But it's I have culture. I opened incognito. Cole, where can we find you? What would you like to shout out?
I would like to shout out SaveTheGiants.com. Save the Giants is a rescue organization that specifically focuses on rehoming large breeds such as Great Danes, English Mastiffs, Saint Bernards, and Great Pyrenees. So they're a really cool organization. Being a Great Dane owner myself, I can tell you large pets are just small pets in the wrong body. So you gotta love them.
Aw. Very nice. Very nice. And the sexiest design team on Twitch, always, of course.
Yes.
Hannah, Logan, what would you guys like to shout out? Where can we find you? What do you got coming up? I know you guys got some stuff coming up this weekend and things.
Absolutely. So, this weekend on our Twitch channel, Hannah Learns to Read, we are continuing our interview series, which started off its first episode last weekend, which went really, really well, where we analyzed the stonks market with a real-life financial analyst for Bloomberg and a high school friend of mine.
Nice.
So on that same theme this Saturday, I know you're streaming, so you guys probably won't be tuning in, but maybe you could hop over for a second. Right. We are interviewing another high school friend of mine who is a sex worker because she has a variety of employment opportunities. So one specific title, I guess, wouldn't be appropriate, but an all-around sex worker. And normally, she would be in Tampa right now with all of her coworkers, which is why they will not be joining us for the Super Bowl, which, fun factoid, is the most profitable day for strippers in America.
Makes sense.
That makes sense, but it's very interesting. I wouldn't have known that.
It is actually hyper-competitive to strip on Super Bowl weekend in the host city, and all the best sex workers from across the country and the world even go to whatever city that the Super Bowl is hosted in and compete for slots at the various clubs as basically independent contractors. And since it's the Super Bowl weekend, we're going to talk about, her name's Maya, Maya's experience going to the Super Bowl cities and basically earning most people's whole year salary in a day. One of the many, many topics we're going to cover, including contemporary feminism with sex in America, adult life, OnlyFans. We're going to do a Twitter review of OnlyFans out of context with a real OnlyFans account. It'll be a really great time. After the interview, we're going to transition to our channel top favorite, Drunk Marbles, which is a really fun drinking game. So maybe after Truman's birthday stream, if you're still looking to get drunk, come join us because we'll be waiting.
That's a very interesting. I definitely tuned in last week for the Stonks interview that we did that you did with the guy from Bloomberg. Very, very interesting. Very learned a lot, you know, learned what he really thought of things. And yeah, that was very, very interesting. Yeah, this seems like a definitely a perspective that you don't hear a lot from. So yeah, that's a very, very interesting way to learn about a lot of those things for people that, you know, aren't educated or have always been curious about the questions that, you know, are kind of, even if you know somebody who does it, you can't really just ask them questions or you feel weird asking them questions like that. So that'll be interesting. Definitely make sure to tune in there. And it's Hannah Learns to Read. That's all one word. And it's R-E-E-D, right?
Puns.
Yes. And
also, am I allowed to address your chat, Truman?
Sure. What do you got?
I see that Sarah wants to know her thoughts on Bella Thorne. You are more than welcome to join the interview and ask her, and we'll just transmit whatever chat says to her, Sarah. So I probably won't remember that because I have the memory of a squirrel. But if you drop in and ask, we will definitely ask her anything and everything that the chat asks as long as we can you know, conduct the interview well and use her time effectively.
Nice. And it's been great having you guys on. And, of course, I've been Truman Steen, twitch.tv/steenmachine. That's STEEHNMACHINE. Or you can find me on twitter.com at Steen Machine. We've got a lot of stuff going on for the Super Bowl. You know, we're about halfway through it. We did, you know, Grub Buds on Monday, Dom That's True Super Show on Tuesday, Grub Buds again today. Again, make sure that you can listen to Grub Buds or Dom That's True on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast. Friday, we have the revival of Steen vs. Machine, where I go on with my dad, who's a professional sports handicapper. We're going to talk about a lot of prop bets to get ready for the Super Bowl weekend. I'll tell you what side I'm betting on. He kind of keeps that under wraps a bit. Understandably, that is his profession. But we'll do a lot of stuff. And then we've got another Grub Buds on Friday night. We're doing our favorite beers. And on Saturday, we have the game show, The Flim Flam Man. It'll probably be Saturday afternoon or so. It'll be special Chiefs trivia. It's a very fun format. And all that will be on the Twitch channel. And then the Dom That's True pregame show on Sunday. I think that's it. Is that it, everybody? Anybody else?
Yeah, we definitely be tuned in for your Sunday show before the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah, yeah. You got to get the Don That's True certified prop bets. We've been hot on them last few weeks.
You guys have been. So you've been on it.
Yeah, but I appreciate everybody coming on here. Joe, Cole, Logan, and Hannah. Thanks again, being great guests, getting us through these five dips. And any viewers, any listeners that have made it this far through the episode, it was a little longer than our usual stuff. But again, we did have to do five different dips. So I appreciate you guys sticking it out this long. I appreciate everybody being here. And we will see you in 2 days on Friday. And we'll probably upload this on Thursday. So if you're listening to it on Thursday, we'll see you tomorrow. Or whatever. See you Friday night. Beers. Gambling. See ya. Bye.